going great. We have a lot of support from a lot of other veterans groups that would love to see this thing completed by spring. It's well on its way. It's something that's really needed. It'll be the first memorial this size of its kind for veterans who have succumbed to suicide because of their PTSD.
So how did this idea come about? Because there are other memorials that are out there. Why did you figure it was time to spotlight this issue?
You know, very easy. You know, you're right. There's a ton of memorials out there. These soldiers that come home from war and they've inflicted with PTSD, they're unrecognized. I mean, they came home with an affliction that nobody could see, so people just don't really put any presence to what they're going through. So we just said, you know what, it's time that these guys and these families get some recognition for, you know, the sacrifice that they made. You know, there's so many families out there that lose a son or daughter, and, you know, there's no parade. We're just trying to help these families find some closure to, you know, the loss of their son or daughter.
The name of the memorial is going to be the Forgotten Warrior Memorial. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that some of these people are kind of forgotten about. Why is that? I mean, is it a sense that, you know, the families may not even want to talk about it once something painful like this occurs?
You know, it's with the stigma. When somebody takes their life because of suicide, typically they're branded weak, drug addicts, alcoholics. But the truth is, they never got the help they needed when they came home from the VA. You know, I had a guy that was home for 8 months, finally went down to the VA to apply for his benefits. The counselor down there told him, you know what, you're home now, forget about it. Go out with your buddies, have a beer. No, he said, obviously he didn't read my file. He says, you know what, he says, the Army is just using that to, you know, to get guys out of the service. He says, no, he says, I really need to talk to somebody. He says, yeah, he says, go home. Your mother will make everything okay. And he looked at him like, you got to be kidding me. And they said, but before you leave, stop at the pharmacy. Well, when he stopped at the pharmacy, they gave him 6 bottles of pills, all barbiturates, 2 to go to bed, 2 to wake up, and 2 to get through the day. That's their answer.
Do you think that having something like a memorial, having this type of higher profile for folks who have succumbed in that way to PTSD. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's going to help bring it out in the open a little more, maybe make people understand the help that's needed?
That's our intention. You know, raise public awareness of what these veterans are going through. You know, they're just not receiving the help they need. And the families that lose a son or daughter, you know, they have no place to turn. At least with this memorial now, they can go back over, come over to the memorial and reflect on why their son or daughter, you know, took their life, that it wasn't something that they chose to do. They didn't leave and go serve with PTSD. They came home with it. And that's the sad part. And when they do come home, basically there's no help for these guys. Each wall, there's going to be 5 pillars, and each pillar is going to be for each branch of the service. They'll have the seal and the day that Congress enacted that branch of service. On the back of it, it'll have a saying by one of the generals or presidents of the United States specifically for that branch. There'll be an eternal flame in front of all 5 markers, and it'll have a flag representing each branch of service as well.
So why was it chosen for Shanahan State Park? How did that come about?
We went and looked at several sites. We met with the director of the state parks of Illinois, and he met me at a few parks. We went to the Shanahan State Park, and it just seemed like the perfect site for the memorial. And everybody was just so excited about having there. The mayor of Shanahan, she welcomed it with open arms. She just thought it was going to be an awesome memorial to have in her town. And, you know, something. And she comes from a long line of a family that are veterans. So it means a lot to a lot of people there.
Of course, I've seen the artist drawings for it. It will be elaborate. Mm-hmm. That does take some money to put these together and mm-hmm. get these erected. How is that going? Where does the fundraising stand, and how much do you still need?
So we're probably 3/4 of the way there. It's all done by donations, people interested in sponsoring the wall for us. The larger corporations are helping us and stuff. And also, you know, we depend on donations from just average people that would really like to see this memorial.
I should ask, too, are you a veteran?
Yes, I am. I got out in 71.
And did you serve in Vietnam?
No, sir, I didn't. I never went over.
Okay. But you know a lot of people who did.
Too many. Yes, I do.
Before I wrap up here with you, Michael, the point of this memorial is to bring this out into the open more and get people
Correct.
More aware of what's going on. And you feel that's not being done enough these days?
No. No, it's like the best kept secret. I'll give you another example. This is the Veterans Suicide Hotline, which is the national suicide hotline for the VA. 40% of their calls ask you to leave a message when you call there. And those are their statistics, not ours. If you go online, you pull up the VA and crisis hotline for them, it's 40% of the calls go to voicemail. Now, how does that happen? How do we allow that to happen? So what we're trying to do is raise the awareness so maybe people will demand changes to be made, you know, through our VA to get these guys the help they need.